Last week, we tried to look at some of the things about preparing and preparation for revival. Brother Barry mentioned about ingredients, and there's different ingredients. And last week, we tried to look at prayer and having faith when we pray. And also, we looked in prayer, if you brother have an alt, you have a alt with your brother, getting that straightened up. And this week, I'd like to look at just maybe a little more of that ingredients for a revival. And the scripture Brother Laren mentioned was David had went, Saul had sent David to take care of some business to a place, and it's where the showbread was eat. And David had got there, and one of Saul's servants was there, and David left in haste, and he didn't bring a spear or a sword with him. So he asked the priest, Elimelech, if he had a spear or a sword or anything there that he might be able to use. And we want to just ask there in that ninth verse, and we'll look at we're going to read that. I wasn't going to read this till later on, but I felt like maybe that's what we need to do to sort of set this all up. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in cloth and behind the ephod. And if thou wilt take that, take it. For this is there is no other save this, that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Give it me. And we find that when David slayed Goliath, we all realize he hit him with those stones with a slingshot. And I believe it was the kind you sling like this. But when he hit him that stone there in the forehead, Goliath fell down, and David didn't have a sword or anything like that. He'd never tried those things. He tried that sling. But he went over and took Goliath's sword, and he cut Goliath's head off with it. And when Lion mentioned that day, that they took and put that up, it seemed to come to a symbol to them, and they'd wrapped it. And I guess me and Brother Barry both, we thought about the sword and the Word of God. And he said, there's none like it. And I want you to realize this book here, there's nothing like it. Now, this one means a lot to me. Brother Barry talked about how his been a lot to him. But there's never been another book like the Word of God. There's been all kinds of books printed down through the years. This is the most selling book that ever has been. It's the only book that I know of that's full of truth and don't have no lies in it. So there's nothing like this sword right here. And that's what David said. There's none like it. Give it to me. And I want you to realize how we need the Word of God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing can replace it. I love to hear songs. I love to hear testimonies. I love all those things. I do. It ain't nobody loves it more than me, Brother Mark. I love for people to testify. But there's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like it. And he said, give it to me. Give me that sword. That's what we need. We need the Word of God. And that's one of the things, one of the ingredients to having a revival. First, you must have prayer. You've got to have prayer. If you ain't got prayer, you ain't got nothing. That's how you get in touch with God. That's how you know you've talked to God. That's how you know God's talked to you. It's through prayer. And I won't put them in categories. All these things is mixed up. I want you to realize when I sat down and ate, I've seen people sit down and they'll put their beans over here, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. They'll put their beans here and their corn here and their mashed potatoes over here and a piece of chicken here, and they try to sit there. You'll see them a whole time separating. I can sit down. I just throw it all together. It's all going to get together after a while anyway. It takes all the ingredients put together, mixed up, stirred up, and when you put them all in there and you stir them up, mix them up, and they come together, you can have revival. So there's not necessarily a certain order that we got to put them in, or we got to keep them separated, but it takes them all. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes prayer, and it takes preaching. And those things, you put them together, you can have revival. But it's important we have those things. You can't take none of them out. and it worked. You start taking some of it out, and it might go for good for a while. You may come here every Sunday for 3 months and have testifying and everything go real good, but next thing you know, your church will start becoming weak. It will become weak, and it takes the truth of God to help us, to convict us, to make us realize where we're wrong, to keep us on the right path, and if we don't have that, we'll starve to death. It won't work. So it takes it all. It takes every bit of it. And I know they say the testifying is the good service. We had a good service today. We had a testifying service, but it still takes the Word of God. Every once in a while, I'd help a preacher. Somebody'd say, "We had a good service today. We had good preaching. It'd make us feel a little better." Y'all pray for us. I've been on these scriptures for a year now. And I've heard Brother Barry talk about them. I've heard Brother Marty talk about them in Bible study. We talk about them a lot. But I want you to realize we talked about these scriptures a little bit last Wednesday night in Bible study, but I want you to realize how you must believe the gospel. And I want you to know, I don't believe you've got to hear me. I believe if you've been saved by God's grace, you can be a witness and tell somebody about Jesus. But listen to me, if you will not hear the gospel, if you don't believe Jesus came and died for you because you're a sinner and you need Him and He is the Savior, you will never be saved. Another parable that he explained in the parable of the sower. Now I want to read that and then we're going to go a little further. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." He's explaining it to them here. When one heareth the word and the kingdom of heaven and understandeth the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart, and that this is which was received on the wayside. In other words, you hear, but then the devil comes and just takes it away from you. And those fell on the wayside. But that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon or gladly with joy received it, and it said, yet have not root in itself, but doeth for a while, but when tribulation and persecution ariseth, because of the word, and by and by he is offended. I want you to realize there are some people will receive the word of God to a certain point that they believe it, but I want you to know it's never sown in their heart. And he has to get down there in the heart, and there's different ones tell that they've been saved and they may go for years with their names on a church roll, but they've never been saved by God's grace, and sooner or later by the preaching of the word it will offend them, they will get mad and they'll leave because of it. So Lord Jesus said, are you going to leave too? And they said, where will we go for it? Lord, you have the words of truth, but those others will not follow because it was never a part of them. It takes the word of God. It offends. It rebukes. It exalts. I want you to know where to preach the word. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns, he that heareth the word and careth of this world and despitefulness and riches and choke the word and becometh unfruitful. In other words, he was just another person that cared more about the world than he did God. And I believe another that never did really get a dose of the whole thing. But listen, but he that receives the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Listen to me. Honey, that's what we need to pray for, is the word when it goes out, that it would fall on good ground and it would not just prick them to the heart, as Brother Marty mentioned, it would not prick them in the heart. And when they receive that word and it gets down in their heart, I believe in all my heart that God God will deal with them. And when He deals with them, they can become sons of God. But listen to me, you've got to believe the gospel. And this is what I was going to take from my text. I was going to try to read that. We need to follow the Lord. Finally, brethren, Second Thessalonians 3rd chapter. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Listen to me. Paul said, pray for us that the word that we preach, this gospel, will have free course, that we'd have liberty to preach. You're to pray for the preacher. You're to pray for the word that it would have free course, that it would go out there and be received. That's what glorified means, and that to be received by the hearers, that they might glorify God in the preaching of the word. Our people anymore, listen to me for a little while. This is important. This is the truth to God. People come, they sin, and they go to sleep during the preaching. They read your song books. They do this and that. Listen to me. You need to listen to the Word of God. When a man stands up to preach the Word of God, you need to pay attention to it. Because it'll help you. If you're lost, you need to hear it to be saved. If you've been saved, you need to hear it to straighten your life out. You might even need to hear it to build you up every now and then. Every once in a while, a preacher get behind this sacred book board and exalt somebody every once in a while. I don't do much of it. But listen, that ain't me. I can't find much good about me or you in the Bible. I find that we're sinners. We're just sinners. Some of us sinners saved by grace. Some just sinners going to a lost and dying. Oh, hell, listen to me, but you don't have to. You can hear the Word of God. You can receive that Jesus came and died for you. That's what you can receive. That's it. You can't receive Jesus, but you've got to receive that He is the Savior of the world. And after you repent and put your trust in Him, He will receive you. That's how it works. This Word, when Adam sinned, on the east side of the garden, they put cherubims. Every time you find the Bible, there's two cherubims. On the east side of the garden, they put cherubims there. I believe it formed a gate, the straight and narrow gate. And then in the midst of that was a flaming sword. I believe one of the cherubims represents the church of the living God. I believe the other cherubim represents the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe the flaming sword represents the Word of God. And I want you to realize there's none like it. There's nothing else like it in the world. It was wrapped up in cloth. Honey, this here is wrapped up in this old cloth. Sometimes the Masons, they use a sheepskin. I want you to realize it's leather. I want you to realize this right here is leather right here. If the Word of God is wrapped up in it, it's precious and it's been put aside for God's people to have. For the whole world. And I want you to understand this Bible out here in the Spirit of God is kind of like faith and repentance. You cannot separate them. How are we to try the spirits? Through the Word of God. If somebody gets up and says, the Lord's led me to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, they're following their own spirit. I don't care who you are. You can say what you want. You can tell the prettiest story ever was. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, you're following the wrong spirit. And I'll tell you something else. If you ain't been saved by God's grace and you ain't spiritually discerned, you cannot understand the Word of God. You can read it and you can read a lot of good stories and understand a lot of good stories. But it will be spiritually discerning to you. You'll not understand it. So it takes the Spirit of God to be able to understand the Word of God, and it takes the Word of God to understand the Spirit. That's how God speaks to us now through Word is in His Word. He still speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. But honey, it takes both of them, and they work together. So I want you to realize today, he told them, he said, God is a spirit, the 4th chapter of John, and the 24th verse, he said, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it takes the Word of God. It takes the Spirit of God. I want you to realize, and they'll work together. And when you preach the Word of God, if it's not accompanied by the Holy Spirit, I don't care how good of a speaker you are, it's just dead. It ain't no count. You just become a speaker instead of a preacher. Y'all bear with us. I'm fixing to be done. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. A lot of times I'll be reading this Word. I'll be going right along with studying, just having a big old time. And all of a sudden, I'll read a few words that just cut me to the core. I realize I've been wrong for a long time about something. And I just went on and on with it. That's what it does. That's why we can't do without it. For us to have a revival, Paul said, pray for us and pray for the Word that it'll have a free course, that it may be glorified. I want you to realize if you'll pray for the Word of God as it goes out, it will have an effect. It will not return to God void. But we're at a point now where preaching just don't mean as much, I don't think, as it once did. If you don't believe that, show up on Sunday night. Show up. And see how many of us come. Show up on Wednesday night when we study the Word of God. See how many come. Show up at Sunday school. That preacher comes on Sunday night. God has sent him with a message just as much as he has me this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I used to think that's the only way it come. I was wrong in that too. That's what the Bible says. But it comes through the preaching of the Word of God, and it also comes through the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God don't ever deal with nobody, the Word won't become true to them. But listen, for how then shall they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I believe in all my heart that woman at the well testified, and they believed her words, and there were some got saved. You can believe what you want to on that, but we can't change the Word of God. The Bible clearly says it. So if it's all full of truth, that's the truth. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Except. That's the only way they be sent. And how is it written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Brother Brad, he'll say, if any of y'all have ever been around, Marty won't agree with it, but Brother Brad will say, boy, ain't he pretty. When I walk up out yonder, he'll come over and he'll grab my little tie and he'll, because it's always on crooked. I tell him, it's just like it's on, it's crooked. He'll grab my little tie and he'll straighten it up. He'll say, Marty, ain't he pretty? And Marty will say, you'll never get me to agree with it. But I got beautiful feet. And that's the Word of God. How beautiful are the feet that them bring the gospel and glad tidings. Who that preached the word of God? We ought to be tickled to death when God sends a messenger our way. Instead of acting like it's some kind of chore to have to go hear him. We ought to be tickled over it. His feet are beautiful. He's come bringing a message. Y'all remember me preaching that, running along, that messenger come, and we should never feel like we're by ourselves. I know the Lord's with us, but when we're preaching, y'all should be amening. Y'all should be into the message. Y'all should be paying attention. And if you're not, then shame on you. This is the sacred word of God. This is what we're to preach. How should they preach except they be saying, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel in peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. Alas, saith the Lord, they have believed our report. And so many times we go and we preach and we preach and we preach and we know it's exactly what God has given us. And it seems like it just falls on deaf ears. It falls on stony ground. It falls on the wayside. It falls on the thorns. But thanks be unto God. Every now and then, some lands on some good ground. And some soul will get saved. Some old wayward Christian that's been out in the world will hear it. It'll get down to their heart. And it'll make them realize they've been wrong. And they'll straighten things up with God in the church. Every now and then, sometimes it's received in good ground. Who have believed our report? Who's listening? That ain't for me to say. But I can tell you one thing, we need to listen. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily the sound went out. My voices went out this morning. But honey, it takes more than that. Yes, verily the sound went out in all the earth. And their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealous, but then there are no people. And honey, we are those people today. And listen, we don't need to get caught up in that. We are a Gentile nation. And you better not get so full of pride and lift it up to think that we can't lose it. Honey, if he took it from a true vine, how much quicker would he take it from us that's been drafted in? Elias was very bold and saith, I found them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But the Israel saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let's don't be a disobedient, a gainsaying people. Hear the word of God, apply it to your life. If you've been saved by God's grace, and it'll help you. You can hear the word of God and some of the things I've said today, and you can get mad and you walk out these doors, it'll never benefit you one bit. You can go to another church and you can go there until they offend you a little bit, and you can leave there and go somewhere else, and it'll never benefit you a bit. Or you can receive the word of God and let it work on you a while. Let it get down in your heart and start working. It'll help you as a Christian. If you're here today and lost, if you'll receive the word of God, let it get planted in your heart and realize that Jesus came and died for you. God will begin to draw you and deal with you. And I promise you, if you'll go to Him, it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life. Or you can just throw it to the side and go on. Keep going down the road you're going. I can't make you believe the word of God. That ain't my job. My God's job is to preach it. Amen. You that are saved, and this church's job is to pray for us as we preach it.
and pray that it would be free and have liberty to go out yonder. I shouldn't have to come here and worry about what I got to preach. Jonathan filled in for me a couple weeks ago. Thank you, brother. Thank you. But he shouldn't have got up here and worried about what he had on his heart, whether you was going to receive it or not. He ought to have had liberty to be able to preach it and lay it out there and leave and go home. And if he followed God, be able to rest over it. One of the ingredients to this upcoming revival, whether you want to believe it or not, it's going to be preaching. It ain't the main ingredient. God's the main ingredient. But it's one of the ingredients. It might be those sweet taters that's in there that maybe my wife pays much attention to that gives it the moist taste of a good brownie, Brother Barry. I don't know. But it's one of the ingredients. Prayer, the Word of God, and be the Lord's will. Next week we'll talk about the last one. If y'all paid any attention today, you don't know what that's about. If you hadn't, guess what? Maybe you will next week and you'll learn what it's about. But if you hadn't paid attention today and you just shut the preacher off, then shame on you. Not because it's me, I ain't nothing, but because of this. He said, have you got any kind of weapon for me? He said, well, you got nothing but this sword that you slayed Goliath with. He said, it's wrapped up in the linen back here. He said, well, give it to me. Well, there's none like it. You'll read every book in the world, and you'll never find one like this. Except what? This one is. I've heard one time, I watched this movie and I ain't recommend it. That was back in my years ago, but I believe it was Full Metal Jacket. And that was a Marine, he ends up killing himself. He's talking about his weapon. He said, there's many just like it, but this one's mine. That's why they treat their weapon. It's theirs. It's a part of them. I've got one that Brother Marty gave me. It's worn and torn. And I love this one. This one's made just like it. The words are in the same place, but it ain't the same, Brother Barry. When I got that other one in my hand, I feel just a little bit stronger, a little more faithful. You say, well, why in the world ain't you using it? Because I got two daughters. I want them both to have one that's worn and torn. I want them both to see the highlights and the teardrops. I want them to see the little note I may have put here and yonder for a definition of word. I want them to have one apiece. They've never known that. That's why I switch books. Because I want them to have one. A piece. So I'm going to keep using this until I wear and tear it and it's worn out or God takes me home first. But I want them to have a book, please, that their daddy preached the word out of. Because girls, there ain't none like it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, and exhort. There's nothing like it. That's my sword. That's my message. It's part of the ingredients of the Word of God for a revival. Pray for it. Pray for me and Brother Jimmy. Or anybody else might stand up during the revival being led by the Spirit of God and preach the Word. Pray for it. That's my message. If you got a song, Brother Larry, we'll have a song and a handshake.